Today's shiur is Masechta B'Kamah Daf Pei Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on the Pei Beis, Amid Beis, the last words on the Amid. V'chachmas Yivonos Miyasuri. At the end of our previous shiur, the Gemara discussed the halacha that one may not raise chazerim. And the Gemara taught us that why did Chazal institute such a rule that we may not learn raised chazerim. The Gemara told us the story how somebody had advised during the siege of Yerushalayim where the people inside Yerushalayim were still able to pay to have kabanis delivered to them. And somebody had told them, well, as long as Klal Yisrael are bringing sheep, carbon tamid, no one could prevail over them. And this individual, the Gemara said, told them, therefore, don't deliver sheep. And they delivered a chazer instead. And that's when the tzoris, the terrible tragedy that befell Klal Yisrael, began. And the question that, and this individual, of course, who did such a terrible thing, the Gemara says, the Gemara teaches us, was an individual who had learned Chachmas Yivonis. And therefore, at that time, the Gemara said, they instituted that nobody should teach his child Chachmas Yivonis. To which the Gemara asks, Chachmas Yivonis Miyasira, is it usur to teach, to teach Chachmas Yivonis? The Tanya, then we learn in a Brais, Amar Rebbe, Beretz Yisrael, Lushan Suri Lama, why is it necessary to daven to speak in Eretz Yisrael, Lashon Sursi? Apparently, Lashon Sursi is some sort of a language which is unclear, not a refined language. What they should speak is either Lashon HaKadosh or Lashon Yevanis. So we see that Lashon Yevanis was spoken. Vamar B'Yosi, Bavel, Lashon Arami Lama. Why should anybody in Bavel speak Arami? Either they should speak Lashon Kodesh, or should they speak Lashon Parsi. Amri, so we see that they encouraged speaking Lashon Yevamis. Answers the Gemara, Amri, Lashon Yevani L'chod, V'chachmas Yevanis L'chod. Well, there's two different things. There's Lashon Yevamis, the language. The language is acceptable. We're speaking about the Chachma, their philosophy. Their philosophy is what is full of apikarsis, and since it's full of apikarsis, that's what brought that person to act and speak in that very inappropriate manner. And that's something that we should avoid our children from learning. So the Mashah asks the obvious question: just because we're learning now that you shouldn't teach it, and we see that people learned it, then what doesn't prove that they did the right thing? So the Mashah says that we're going to learn that who was the family that did it? It was the family of Rabbi Gamliel. It's hard to attribute that the family of Rabbi Gamliel did something wrong. Therefore, says the Gemara, "Hachmas Yivanos Miyasira." From Rabbi Yehuda, Meshmul Meshim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Einenei Olul Nafshi Mechabneis Iri, a pasuk in Eicha, how the Navi cries for Yirmiyahu, not cries about his family, whose family was a family of Kahanim. Eilei oilu nafshi, my eyes are full of tears. Mikobnes iri, on all the family members. El viladim, and he says, El viladim haibbeis abba. There were 500 boys in our father, in my family. Chamesh meis mehem lam the Torah. 500 of them learned Torah. And 500 of them learned Chachmas Yivonis. And there was no one left over from my. There was nobody left over from them. Ela ani kan, I in Eretz Yisrael, or ben achi abba ba'asya, my cousin in Asia. But what we see from here was that they learned Chachmas Yivonis. And as I said, even though the Mashah says, we could maybe suggest that that's actually why they were punished. There was nobody left over. But it's hard to attribute to Beis Rav Gamliel that that's what was the story with them. So says the Gemara, Shani Beisar Gamliel. We can't bring a raya from the Reis Gamliel. They were particularly close to the government. And therefore, because they were close to the government, they had to be able, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, to communicate with the government. And the way they were able to do so was speaking and knowing their language. Ketanya, as the Braisa actually teaches us, Hamasapra Kume, somebody who takes a haircut in the style of the Chukas Ha'avkum, Hareza Medaki Amari. And we know that there's an Isser, Abu Chukai Sehem, Loisa Leichun. Avtumas Baruven, Etirloi, Lasapra Kume, but there was this individual, Avtumas Baruven, who they allowed him to take this fashion haircut, Neishu Karv Lamalchus, because he was constant communication with the government, and Shabbat Yisrael Gamliel, Hitim Lam Lasapar, B'Chachmas Yivonis, we allowed them to communicate and learn the Chachmas Yivonis, Neishu Karv Lamalchus, they were Karv Lamalchus. But I did see a Pshat, Karv Lamalchus, the Pash Pshat in the Gemara is, they were close to the government. And because they were close to the government, they needed to be able to communicate with the government, not just with language skills, but also the issues that they spoke about in the government, they needed to be able to speak about those issues and be familiar with those issues. But I saw another pshat, which is very consistent with the pshat that we've been learning throughout our shir. Krav Lamalchus means they were Krav Lamalchus Shemayim. They were very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because they were so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were able to learn these things that normally people should avoid, and they won't be affected by learning these things. Tosfos quotes the Gemara Masechet Me'ila that speaks about Avtumas ben Reuven, that one time there was a decree against Shmira Shabbos, and he, because of his connections with the government, was able to have that decree abolished. So we see that some people have to be able to converse with them and be involved with them. I actually saw that the Chishukei Chemed has a very interesting discussion. A very interesting Shaila, because based on what we just learned on the Gemara. And that is that there's an individual who unfortunately is not yet religious, but he is he's starting to open up to allow himself to be influenced, to become closer to Torah. And there's somebody who learns with this individual Torah, and that's how he's able to draw him closer. And this person who is we're trying to bring closer, what he does is he's the manager of a restaurant, and he's very, very busy in the restaurant. And he says that while I'm in the restaurant, there are times during the day where it's quieter, and I could go and learn with you during those times. But I don't have time to come to wherever this Talmud Chacham who's learning with him lives, or to his yeshiva. So he says, come to me and learn with me in the restaurant. The question is, this person comes to the restaurant and he sees that this restaurant is a non-kosher restaurant. Is there a Chil Hashem involved by a religious Jew, like especially a Ben Torah, walking into a non-kosher restaurant? Moreover, if people see a person with a yarmulke learning in such a restaurant, they may come in to eat in that restaurant. So the Chishukei Chemed has an interesting discussion. What is their halacha or not? And he says that he asked this question to his father-in-law of Eliyashiv Zatzal, and he said that there's a Chil Hashem involved in a person walking into such a restaurant, even though his intentions are so great. And of course, the issue of a michshol is so significant. And as much as we want to try to bring that person closer to Torah, it can't be under these circumstances. And our Gemara is the proof that only under very specific circumstances do we allow people to do things that are not normally allowed. And he quotes a very interesting story from the Chalkus Yaakov, Rab Reish, from Switzerland. He says, Rab Reish said that there was a person who lived in their community in Switzerland who got older, and his family lived in the United States. And because of that, he needed to be closer to his family. He moved to the United States. He was a very religious person. He had a beard. He looked like a very religious individual. And he moved to the United States. He once came back to Switzerland, and Rab Reish saw that he had a beard before he moved from Switzerland, and now he no longer had a beard. So Rab Reish asked him, why did you cut your beard off in the United States? So he says, I came to live, as you know, with my children in the United States, and the son who I was living with is unfortunately not that religious, but he treated me with great respect, and I lived in his home. And one day my son says, you know, you spend your entire day learning Torah, and I have a butcher shop. It would be great if you sat in my butcher shop. I'll give you a place, a desk. You could sit and learn and do it in my butcher shop. So he said, I want to make my son happy, particularly he's being so nice to me. I come to my son's butcher shop. My son's butcher shop is certainly not kosher, or maybe not as kosher as the father would want it to be. And he said to himself, if I'm going to sit here, and I'm a very distinguished-looking religious Jew, people are going to assume that certainly all the meat that's sold in this butcher shop is 100% kosher. And it will create a Chil Hashem when it's not that way. Or people are going to eat meat that I don't think that they should be eating, but because of my sitting there, it's going to cause a misimpression. So I didn't feel comfortable in telling my son, I can't do what you ask of me, given that my son was being so kind and nice to me. What I did was, I shaved off my beard. And now, when I sit in the restaurant, nobody thinks that there's some distinguished-looking rabbi in the restaurant. And that, Rab Reish said, was obviously the right thing to do. Says the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah. A person should not raise a dog. Elam kein kosher b'shal shalos, unless you have him chained. A person may not raise a dog. Elam kein kosher b'shal shalos, unless you have him chained with metal chains. Amagadalhu, you are allowed to raise a dog b'iras muchalasfar, city next to the border, because there you need it for protection. But, says the Gemara, the kashroi b'yayim, during the day the dog should be chained, umatira b'layla, during the day the chance that they're going to attack is not that serious, and therefore we can't have the animal loose. At night, where the danger is greater, we could untie him. Says the Gemara, Tanya Blazer Godloimer, Hagal Klovim, somebody who raises dogs is Kemagal Chazerim. It's like somebody, which we spoke about at the beginning of the shir, who raises pigs. Says the Gemara, Lamayin Afkamina, what's Rabbi Lezer trying to teach us with this? Says the Gemara, Lamekim La Ba'arur. Not only is somebody that raises a dog doing the wrong thing, he's violating what Chazal said, but actually, as we said in our previous year, that somebody who raises a dog raises chazerim or should be cursed. Here too, the person who raises a kelev should be cursed. Amar Rav Yais ben Yumni, Amar Rav Nachman, Bavel. Since there's such a large community of Jews in Bavel, kir asmuch l'svar dami. So every city in Bavel, since there's so many Jews, and we have to make sure that they should be properly protected, is considered like a city next to the border. Tergema, but says the Gemara, which city in Bavel is being referred to here? Nador. The city of Nador had non-Jews encircling it, and therefore, even though it was a large Jewish community, they had to be careful. We had learned at the beginning of the Masechta, on Daf Tes Vav Mabeis, that the Pasuk says, Lesosim Domim Bebeis Secha, that it's Osil Gadol Kelev Ra V'toich Beisoy. And the Torah, when it quotes our Gemara, going back to that Gemara, says that we're talking about a Kelev Ra. The Rambam, that's only a Kelev Ra. However, the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, doesn't limit it to a Kelev Ra. And he says that a person should not raise, which should not raise any dog. The Chazon Cheskel says that the Isser of Leisosim Dama Veisecha refers specifically to dangerous dogs. The Takana that's being taught in our Gemara refers to every type of dog. The Mashal says that Kalev Ra does not necessarily mean a dog that bites, but any dog that barks at strangers will also be considered in the category of a dog that you may not raise. So it seems what I think the Mashal is trying to say is if there's a dog that bites, that's in the category of Kalev Ra. If there's a dog that doesn't bite but it barks and it could cause people to miscarry, etc., that's considered a Kelev. That dog should not be raised per the Takana of our Gemara. A dog that is not dangerous and doesn't bark maybe is permissible. The Shulki Gvarim actually writes that he wonders why in his time there was a practice to raise dogs, which is contrary to what we've been learning. So he wants to say, based on the Gemara that we just learned, that since we live among non-Jews, perhaps we need the dogs for protection. And maybe we need them for protection even by day. The Mashal disagrees. He says that even though one may need a dog for protection, as much as you have a heter to have a dog for protection, it doesn't give you a heter that if it could cause danger, and as we just spoke, even a dog that doesn't bite could cause a woman to miscarry, and therefore the Mashal says he's against the minig of raising dogs that and keeping them unchained, certainly by day. Says the Gemara, Darshu Rav Tistai Ben Biri. The Pasuk says, when Klai Yisrael were traveling with the Oren in the Midbar, the Pasuk says, V'nucha Yoymar, Shuv Hashem, Rivois Alpha Yisrael. Lamdecha, what is this Pasuk coming to teach us? Shein Shechina Shairal Yisrael. The Shechina does not rest by Klai Yisrael. Pachas Mishnei Alovim Mishnei Revovis. When there are less than 22,000 Jews, Revovis is 10,000, and Alofim is 1,000. So we see from here that let's say you'll have 21,999 Jews. Chasrachas, you have 21,990 Jews. Vaisi Ishim Uberes Benaim, and we have a pregnant woman there. Veruil Ashlam, and she's about to have a child that will be the number 22,000. And now, V'navach Bar Kelevi Pila. A dog barked at her, causing her to miscarry. What happened here? Nitzazeh, Garim L'shechina Shetestalk Yisrael, that this person, by raising this dog, caused such terrible repercussion to Klai Yisrael. And as I saw, Deish Lavram says, that even though maybe L'halacha, we can't make this person, even though we can't make this person pay, we learned earlier in Amasechta, Hamavis, if somebody just frightened somebody, it's not clear that we could punish, that he has to pay because he frightened. We learned the concept of Ihu, the Mavis Anafse. But we see how every Jewish, we see that it's what it means when you frighten somebody. And furthermore, I saw that Paiskim say that this is the basis why we're allowed to do whatever we need to do to help a woman have a child, even when it involves Chil Shabbos. Because having every child that's learning Torah, every child that's born, every Jewish individual brings the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. And a person who helps that is bringing the Shechina to Klal Yisrael and Chas V'Shalom, not the other way. He hits the Olaf L'Meifa Behu Beisa. There was a woman that went to bake in a certain home, Navach Bar Kalva, and a dog started to bark at her. Amal Amari, the owner of the dog, told her, Laitistafemina, you have nothing to worry about. Shkule Ninve, his teeth were removed. Amrle, and therefore can't do you any harm. Amrle, so the woman said to the owner of the dog, it's too little, too late. Shkule Tevosrech, take the teeth, and Shajay Chizre, and you can throw it to the thorns. Kvad not Vlad. The fact that I got frightened already happened, and therefore you can't reverse that. And therefore you shouldn't have a dog, as we said earlier, that even from the marshal that barks, because it already could cause that terrible damage. What is the significance of the number 2, 20, wedding number 22,000? So I saw that the Ein Yaakov explains that the Pasuk says, Adam Echad Me'elof Metzasi, in Pasuk in Kehelis. So if we're going to have, if out of every 1,000 people, we find one person that really is great. As the Gemara says, Elef Nechnasim, 1,000 people enter the Beis Medrash, Vechad Yotzei, and just one leaves the Beis Medrash as a successful Talmud Chacham. So if we now start with 22,000 people, out of every 1,000, there's only going to be one that's truly successful. We're going to be left with 22. 22 correspond to the 22 letters of the Alabase. And that, he goes on to say, the Pasuk says, B'cha Yevarech Yisrael. B'cha is the Gematria 22,000 people. Tosfos asks, don't we know that whenever we have a minion, Kobe Asara, as soon as we have 10 people, Shchinta Shcharya. So what are we saying over here that we need 22,000? So the Sefer Medrash Shmuel, many other Mefarshim take a very similar approach. Of course, even when you have one Jew, and certainly when you have 22,000 Jews, certainly when you have 10 Jews, you're going to have the Shechina Klal Yisrael. But there are different levels of the manifestation of the Shechina. And the more Jews that we have, then there's a higher level of the appearance of the Shechina. And our Gemara is teaching us that particularly once we have 22,000 Jews, then there's a very high level of the Shechina, and that's what we should try to look for. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein parsim nishman levinim. We're not allowed to put out nets to catch birds unless they're 30 risks away, unless they're 30 risks, which we explained means 4 mil from where people live. Ask the Gemara, v'chi azli kol ahai, do birds fly that far? V'tanan, v'chikin, as a shayvich min'ir, we distance the nest from the city, chamishim amma, so we see that they don't fly more than 50 amma. Why do we have to distance them this far? Answers the Gemara, amma baya, meshit shayif tuva. The birds fly more than 50 ammas. And that's why we're not allowed to put out traps within the longer distance. However, the food they only eat within the first 50 amma. That's enough where they have enough food within the 50 amma that they don't need to eat anymore. And we don't have to be concerned that they're going to eat food after 50 ammas. But travel, they actually travel further. So now we're learning that the entire concern is that they fly. And we're saying that they fly 30 risks. Ask the Gemara, is that the entire distance they fly? The Tanya, B'yishav, afilu mei mil la'yifris, in a place where it's inhabited, people shouldn't even put out traps within 100 mil. Says the Gemara of Yosef Amar, the Bryce is speaking about Yishav Kramim. Since there are trees there, they rest from tree to tree. So that since they have the trees where they give the ability to rest, that's why they could travel further. But when they don't have such a large, long distance, when they don't have trees, they can't travel more than 30 risks. Rav Amar, the Bryce is speaking about B'yishav Shaifchim. There are a lot of nests. Since there's so many nests, they have plenty of opportunity to rest with all those nests. But typically, M'shem Shaifchim Gufayu. So why do we have to say, because that they're going to rest, we should say that since their nest over there, that the if I put up nest, the other birds are going to come into my nest. Ibais Ema B'Davik Kachavim. The nest belong to Avik Kachavim, so we're not concerned. Ibais Ema B'Dehefka. That's Hefker, so that's not a concern. V'Ibais Ema. They belong to me, and therefore the nest are not a concern. Hanulach Maruba. Hanulach Maruba. Hanulach Maruba. Says the Mishnah Chavu B'Chaveroi. If somebody does damage, injures somebody else, a human, a person injures somebody else, Chayv lo mishimcha mishidvarim. He's going to be held responsible to pay five payments. Nezek, and each one of them is obviously going to be explained in the Mishnah, but Nezek, b'tzar, b'ripli and b'ishas. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Rav Yonason. Why do we learn Perek Chayvel after Perek Meruba? Even though we're Perek Geizel Eitzim, we're going to learn, speaks about Gzela, which is very much connected to what we learned in Perek Meruba. We spoke about Kefil and about Dalad Vehei. So he explains that when a person is accusing that another person injured him, when another person stole from him, he sometimes is not careful and he starts to believe that that other individual who stole from him, he has to go after him. And then he starts to injure him. And just because you're accusing somebody that he stole from you, it doesn't ever give you a right to hit that person. And since it doesn't give you a right to hit that person, but the act of stealing, as was just said, could easily cause that what somebody should do, that's why we learn. Another important pshat is the pshat that the Melech HaShleimah suggests. As we're going to spend time in this perek, we're going to be learning that there are certain payments on mammon. You have to compensate for what you owe, and certain are knas. And in the previous perek, as we just mentioned, kefil and dal v'hei are very strong examples of knas. And the difference between mammon and knas is going to be discussed quite extensively in this perek. So that's why it's a perfect continuation. Reb Chaim Brisker explains that in our Masechta, we've been speaking about nezikin damages. He says there's a very fundamental difference between when a person does damage to injure someone else and when somebody's property does damage to somebody else. When somebody's property does damage to somebody else, so we have to compensate for the loss that the nizik incurred. He says, however, when we speak about chavolis, it's not compensation for what was lost. Even if there's a gzeiros hakasef, that if one person injures another person, the Torah says that he has to pay the five payments that we just discussed. And that obligation is there not to compensate for what he caused a financial loss, but because they did the terrible sin of injuring someone else. So says the Mishnah, Chayv b'chaver. So Chayv b'chaver, Chayv l'mishim chamisha dvarim, Nezek tzar ripuim b'shevus u'b'shevus. Nezek ketzah, what is the definition of Nezek? Simas enoi, if somebody caused somebody else, Rechman son, to become blind, Katas yaday, cut off his hand, Shiber his ragla, broke his leg, Reinoi soy, we look at the victim, Kila evad nivik b'shuk. Rashi says we look at him as if he was an evad ivri, Hat v'shaman kama yafa, how much he was worth before this injury, the kamu yafa, how much he's worth after this injury. The Rishonim point out, what we don't do is ask the person, well, how much would you be willing to accept for payment to get such an injury? Because that's a price that's very, very high. There's no one who's willingly going to accept that to be injured. That's why we have to evaluate him as an Eved Kanani, as an Eved. So Rashi, as we just said, says we evaluate him as how much he was worth and is now worth as an Eved Ivri. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says he's evaluated as an Eved Kanani. And the reason the Rosh doesn't agree with Rashi, one of the reasons, is because we know that a person who sold as an Eved Kanani, we learned the Masechta Kedushin, is only sold for 6 years. But this person is going to have this injury forever. So therefore, we evaluate him as an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is sold forever. But Tsar, how do we evaluate Tsar? Kiver b'shvir or b'misper. He burnt him with a nail that was hot. Vafilat Tsaparna, even just on the person's nail. Makim she'enos kabura, where there isn't permanent damage to the victim. How much a person would be willing to accept lias mitzdarkach to be injured, not injured, but be burnt that way. And the way Rashi explains, there are people who are more sensitive to pain and people who are less sensitive to pain. When we look at this individual, we look at his level of sensitivity. The Rambam says a different consideration. He says a person who's wealthy doesn't need to earn money by being burnt. A person who isn't wealthy sometimes is very desperate for money. And what he do for money is even allow himself to be burnt. And therefore, what the consideration is not the sensitivity of the person to pain, but rather how much does the person need the money. Ripui, what is ripui? He called chayv repaisai. If the person injured him, he has to pay for the medical bills. All about smachim, if different warts or growths, grew on this person, imach samaka chayv. If they came because of the injury, he has to pay for them. If shloimach samaka, if not, his potter. The Nemuka Yosef says that when a person is not well, he has to eat more, and he has to eat healthier food. And he says that that's all included in what the Mishnah means when you have to pay for the ripui. Tzmachim, the Bar Tanur explains, are like white warts. And the Meiri explains that even if they grow not directly on the spot where the injury happened, but if they grow as a result of the injury, you have to pay for it. If the maka got better, but then it came back. And this keeps on happening. He has to keep on paying for those medical bills. But once it was completely healed, and then even if it came back because of a different reason, not because of the injury that the mazik did, then in chayv l'paisai. Sheves, what is the sheves payment? We have to look at this person as if he's a watchman, which is not obviously a very difficult job and not a very high-paying job. And then he can't, but while he's disabled, he can't even do that because for the actual injury, says the Mishnah, he already got paid. So now we're paying the unemployment that he can't even do this insignificant job. Boishes, what's boishes? Hakul fiam vayish from his bayish. When we speak about the boishes, we look at the person and we look at the person who caused the busha and the person who was embarrassed. It's a very, very subjective payment. The Bermaim Chaim says that the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parsha Shemois, V'gam re'isi es ha'lachatz asher Mitzrayim lochetz emaisai. What is the pasuk saying, this very long wording? It says the Bermaim Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, look at the people who are causing tzoros to Klal Yisrael. It's the Mitzrim who are a very lowly people. And to whom are they causing tzoros? To the great nation of Klal Yisrael. And that's what I'm going to take into consideration. The Bnei Yisachar quotes the Chayvus Halvavus, who says that the Chassidim HaRishonim, the early Chassidim, were always doing tshuva for one Aveira. What does that mean? He says that we just learned in our Mishnah that the Aloch is Hakul Fi Hamavayis Mizbayish. If a person is not such a distinguished individual, then when you embarrass him, it's not so significant. And the same thing, if the person who embarrassed you was an important person and he embarrassed you, it's a much greater embarrassment. He says, when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nobody, we can't even fathom the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we think about ourselves, we are nothing compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a person does tshuva, he realizes how infinitely nothing is he compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the tshuva that we do every day. Every day, we recognize the mevayish and the mezbayish. And that's what the Chayv HaSalvavus means to say. Every day we recognize how insignificant we are, and every day we recognize how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And therefore we need to do tshuva every day again when we come to that recognition. The Chafetz Chaim says that Zuchar Asa Asha Hashem LeMiriam. The Torah says we have to remember Miriam. And that's how we should remember not to say Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim Pash Kiseitze explains. We think about Miriam, the bear that we had, the water that we had 40 years in the Midbar, we had Peschus Miriam. Miriam, we know, was the person who put herself at risk to save Moshe Rabbeinu. And even though she was so great, when she spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, we remember that she became a tzaras. From here we see that how much we have to pay attention that even when we say Lashon Hara about anybody, and even if he's not great and we are great, how much we have to recognize Hakol Lefi HaMevayish V'Afilu Mezbayish. Says the Gemara. Amai, we're saying that if somebody injured somebody else, he has to pay the damages that were just identified in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, but why? The Torah says, Ayin Tachas Ayin Amrachmana Ve'ema, so therefore we should say, Ayin Mamish, that you should have to have, if you poked out somebody's eye, your eye should be poked out. Since answers the Gemara Lo Saka Datach. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Yochel Simas Einoi, if somebody blinded somebody else, Misamas Einoi, we should blind the person who blinded somebody else's eye. Katas Yodai, if somebody cut off someone else's hand, Ma Katas Yodai, we should cut off his hand. Shibris Raglai, if somebody broke somebody else's leg, Mishabis Raglai, we should break his leg. Tamalema, the Torah says, Maka Adam or Maka Behema, Gzeris Shava. Ma Maka Behema Tashlumim, when somebody injures, damages somebody else's animal, you only have to pay. Af Maka Adam or Tashlumim. Vim Nim Shafleimer, and if you're going to ask a question, which the Gemara will say what question you can ask, Hareyu Oimer, V'leisichu Kaifu L'nefesh Ritzeach, Hashirosh Olamas. L'nefesh Ritzeach, if somebody has shown murdered somebody, Iyat L'keich Kaifu, he can't be absolved just by paying. Avat L'keich Kaifu L'Rosh Yavar M'Shnei Chazarim. Even if you injured an organ which is not replaceable, you just have to pay for the damage. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Maka. Which Pasuk are we speaking about? Ilay Maka. Says the Marhubik Taliksiv. That pasuk is speaking about when you killed somebody. So that isn't what we're referring to. Elamahocha. The pasuk says, Umaka nefesh behema yishalmena nefesh tachas nefesh. The samachlei. And then the pasuk says, next to it, vish kiyitim mumba mesoi kesha osur ken yasaloi. So the same halacha, just like when you kill an animal, you only have to pay. So too when you injure a person, it's payment that you have to give. But ask the Gemara, the Pasuk doesn't say the word Makkah. The Pasuk says Yitei Mum. Answers the Gemara, Hakah Kamra Kamrinan. We don't mean that it's the exact word Hakah. It means the same concept, the same situation where you wounded somebody else. And Makkah Murba Behema. Just like the Torah says, when you wound a person, wound an animal, L'tashlumim, what you're obligated to do is to pay. Af hakah hamur ba'adam, what the Torah means to say is l'tashlumim. Ask the Gemara, v'ksiv, doesn't the Torah say, ish kiyake kol nefesh adam? If a person just injures somebody else, the Torah clearly says, mos yumus, that the perpetrator should be put to death. Answers the Gemara, what that pasuk means is b'mamon. So I saw that the Rav Shimon Astropolis says, the Pasuk says, Ayin Tachas Ayin, but we're saying that Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mammon. He says, if you take the word Ayin and you look at the next letters from the word, from every word of these letters, the word, the letter after Ayin is Pei. The letter after Yud is Chof. The letter after Nun is Samach. Ayin Tachas Ayin. Take the next letter of Ayin. That's what you have to do. You have to pay Mammon, Kesef. Ask the Gemara, Memaid Mammon. But why, the Gemara keeps on going back. Why are we saying that it means paying? Ema Misa Mamish. Maybe what it means is that the person should be put to death. Answer the Gemara, Loi Sakadatach. Chada, the Ha'iskish Lamaka Nefesh Behem Yishalmeno. As we just said, the Torah compares when you wound a person to when you hit an animal. And when you hit an animal, there's no logic to say that you deserve to be death. So the same is when you injure a person. From here we see mammon. We learned in the Braisa, Umay Nafshech Loimer. The Gemara said, if the Braisa said, if we're going to learn the Gzeri Shava, Maka Maka, but you may have a question on that Gzeri Shava. So that's why the Braisa said, the other possibility is Sikha Kaifish Neymar. What's the question? Says the Gemara, Sukha Kasha, Latana. The Tana had the following question. My chazis, the Yafas from Maka Behema, why are we learning Gezeri Shava from Maka Behema? Why not learn Maka Adam? And say, just like by Maka Adam, Yumas, it means actual death. Amri, to which the answer is, Donan Nazikim and Nazakim, it makes more sense to learn when somebody injured a person to when somebody did damage to an animal, both of them are in the category of Nezikin. They ain't done a Nezikin when you injure a person from Misav when you kill a person. Ask the Gemara, we can make a counter argument. Adrabba, done an Adam Adam. Both of these Psukim, when you kill a person or you injure a person, we're speaking about human beings. They ain't done an Adam Behema rather than learning a person from an animal. Says the Gemara, Haina the Tani, that's exactly what was meant when it said, Im Nafshech Loimer, that you may have a question. And therefore it says, Hareyu Oimer, V'lai Sikha Kaifer, L'Nefesh Ritzeach, Ashurash Lomus, L'Nefesh Ritzeach, Etelekeach Kaifer, you don't take for killing Kaifer, Avatel payment, Avatelekeach Kaifer, L'Rosh Evarim Shenech Hezarim. Ask the Gemara, V'hai, V'lai Sikha Kaifer, L'Nefesh Ritzeach, L'Mutei Rosh Evarim Udasa, to teach us that we pay when we do damage. The teachers of halacha that we've been discussing extensively in our masechta, the halacha of kim leib de rabbanei. And the Torah is saying, don't both pay require payment and also kill the perpetrator. Answers the Gemara, the halacha of kim leib de rabbanei, b'ktei rishasa nefka, that we learn, the Torah says, v'kol l'fon of k'dei rishasai, and from there we learn, we only administer one punishment, not two punishments. Ask the Gemara Katami Boile, we need this pasuk, the Kamar Rachmana, the Torah is telling us that if somebody murdered somebody else, that if somebody murdered somebody else, he can't just get off the hook by paying. He's going to have to get murdered. Im Kain, says Gemara, if that's what the Torah wants to teach us, what did the Torah add with those words? If somebody injured somebody else, ask the Gemara. So the Gzeri Shava Amakalaka Lomali, we have this pasuk which clearly teaches us that when you injure somebody else, you have to pay. Answers the Gemara, Amri. Imai hava mina. If we only had the pasuk of Leisikha Kaifer, we would think perhaps, Ibai Eina Nesiv. If we want, we could take the eye. Ibai Demei Eina Nesiv. The perpetrator has the ability to choose which way to pay. Kamash Malon. The Torah has the pasuk from Behema. Ma mak Behema l'tashlumim. There is no opportunity any other way to pay. To be chayiv just by paying, afmalki adam, the only thing that is done tashlumim is payment. Tanya Reb Distoy ben Yehuda Omer, The pasuk says, "Ayin taksayin." So as we've been learning in our shir, means mamon. Ataim mamon ayin elam ayin mamish. Maybe that we should poke out his eye. Amarta. Let's say this person, the eye of the victim is big. And the eye of the perpetrator is small. How would we be able to fulfill ayin tachas ayin? Or so says the Gemara. Maybe what the Torah means to say that in such circumstances is we'll take mamon because there's no apshtun. But where the eyes are the same, we should poke out the eye. Tamaloima, Tyra Amra, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, Mishpat Hashem Kulchem. It has to be the same punishment in all situations. Amri, but they asked, my kusha dama, what does it mean ayin tachas ayin? When we look at an eye, we don't look at the size of the eye. The point of the eye is that Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us eyes, and through the eyes, we're able to see. So it doesn't make a difference if this person has a smaller eye or this person has a bigger eye. Ma'am Kusha, Dilma, what the Torah means is, Nahira Shakumine, you took his ability to see. Nahira Amrachman Nishkumine, the victim now can't see, so the perpetrator should be punished that he shouldn't be able to see. Diloy Temahachi, it says the Gemara, if you won't take that argument, Cotton, a small person, Shaharik is a Gadol, that killed a large person, or vice versa. Gadol Shaharik is a Cotton, Keicha Katalina Lay. How can we kill them? If we're saying, if they're not the same, Ella, that's not a question. Neshama Shakumine, the murderer caused the victim to die. Neshama Amrachman Nishkumine, that's what should happen to the perpetrator. Hachanami, Nahara Shakumine, Nahara Amrachman Nishkumine. So to say that Ayin Tachas Ayin doesn't mean, can't mean, because the size of the eyes are not always the same, that's not what the Torah, that's not the way to say it doesn't mean ayin tachas ayin. But we had the other sources, and we're going to continue in Mitzvah Shem in our next year, how we know that indeed when somebody injures someone else, the payment is the has to be done, a financial payment, but not any physical punishment.